The College Baseball Picks Friday for April 19th edition on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network's The College Baseball Experience is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win up to 100x in NBA, MLB, MMA, NHL, golf, and more. Sign up today at underdogfantasy.com using promo code TCESGPN to get a 100% deposit bonus. Plus, the NFL draft is also coming up, and old-fashioned football is giving away some autographed NFL merchandise. Head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/OFF contest. That is the letters OFF for old-fashioned football contest to enter today. And we're also giving away $200 cash in our NBA playoff round one prop contest. Sign-up link is in our NBA channel on Discord. Yes, yes, yes. What's going on, everybody? It is showtime here. April 19th, college baseball picks. We're going to jump right into them. I'm hitting them right at you at 2:02 a.m., mainly because, so I've known that this day has been coming. Today, I was actually a sub in my dad's golf league. That's about 45 minutes away from the house. But also, this I didn't know was coming. Jack Leiter's MLB debut was today in Detroit. So I was there in the afternoon. Then I played golf and then I had to drive back home, start handicapping some of these games. And what do you know? I'm done handicapping some of my favorite games of the weekend or series of the weekend at 2 a.m. So as some of you know, there's not really a live scheduled time that we go. But you can always expect a Friday show. This weekend, we're experimenting possibly a Friday night show for Saturday's games, maybe even a Saturday night show for Sunday's games or vice versa. And then also just getting out in front of it next week, next Thursday night for the Friday college baseball picks. That's going to be interesting. The NFL draft is being held live in Detroit, and honestly, that's a once in kind of a 30-year thing, 32 years, because there's 32 NFL teams. I'm going to go. I'm going to have a hell of a time, get shit blasted, and enjoy just the city with some buddies of mine. So that episode might happen Wednesday night. It might happen late Thursday night. But I will be there Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I have a fantasy football punishment Saturday during rounds 4 through 7. Trust me, I am normally very, very good at fantasy football, and I normally run my house leagues. However, a couple injuries, you know, it happens to the best of us. So I've got to eat some very hot wings on video at the NFL draft on Saturday afternoon. Before we get into the college baseball picks, I need to tell you, so we are doing it. I do a terrible job at just promoting this show. I love you guys. You guys have given us a great following. However, we need some reviews on the podcast platforms. I've been looking and I'm just like, wow, for the numbers that we've got like 12 reviews. So what I'm doing, I don't know if you listened to the earlier podcast this week with Jake McKeever of College Baseball Central. I received the wrong package of Chinook Cedary seeds, and they're sending me out a new package. So I ordered all original and barbecue seeds, and they sent me their entire variety pack, which is every flavor, which I'm not complaining about. However, I've tried all of them. And my two favorites are going to be original, or they are original and barbecue. So I just wanted those two. I have seeds to give out. So if you leave a review, all you have to do is tweet me, DM me. Like, you can do it in public. You can do it a DM, tweet or DM. And if you don't have Twitter, personally, I prefer my Instagram to be more private than public. Even though I do have it as set as public, hit up TCE's Instagram, DM TCE on Instagram, and we will get you a pack of seeds to try Chinook Seedery seeds, because I think they're really, really good. And me as a bench warmer in college baseball, all I was doing was gnawing on seeds. My mouth would go raw after like four handfuls. With these, I swear to God, like, and this isn't even an advertisement. We're not sponsored by them. I love their seeds. We've already received three comments live on YouTube. Ryan Hasty says, go to the draft, Noah. It's going to be fun. Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be a fun time for sure. James Roberts, he was waiting for this. Yeah, I'm sorry, Roberts. You know, just life happens sometimes. My dad's in a competitive golf league, and like 2 months ago, he was like, I'm going to need you April 18th. So it is what it is. But yeah, I've got plenty of flavors here. There's the lemon pepper, there's Parmesan and pepper, there's jalapeno ranch, Hatch chili, which is their hot seed. They got plenty. So yeah, just hit me up. And also, you know, the Stanley Cup playoffs have begun this weekend. The Hockey Gambling Podcast of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network has you covered. Talon, Ryan, Joel, they're breaking down every series leading up to Saturday's opening games, and they will keep the picks and laughs coming all postseason long. Subscribe to the Hockey Gambling Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And sorry, SGPN's also giving away $200 in cash, our NBA playoff round one prop contest. So sign up link is in the NBA channel on the Discord. That's the other thing. So I was out in cold, dry air playing golf, so my voice might be a little scratchy here today. Let's jump into the games. I'm excited for today's slate, this Friday slate of college baseball, mainly because I am going to the game on the diamond, 6:00 p.m. Eastern, Ohio State Buckeyes. Jesus, I was about to say Buckeyes. Shout out to all the Southern gas stations out there. The Ohio State Buckeyes are coming at A2 Ann Arbor, Michigan. The Michigan Wolverines somehow are -130 at home against the Ohio State Buckeyes. And look, Landon Bidelskies, I think it's Bidelskies, Bidelskies. I think it's Bidelskies. I'll find out tomorrow when I get my pronunciation guide. Because I pride myself in pronouncing the names right. It shows off to listeners that you actually pay attention to ball. Like, that's my number one pet peeve when I listen to other people. If you know the game or have watched the game, you would know how to spell or, you know, pronounce guys that you watch. So Bidelskies has pitched like one of the best pitchers in the Big Ten so far this season. He's a sophomore left-hander. He's 4-5 with a 3.93 ERA, 61 strikeouts with 18 walks and 50.1 innings, a 2.84 Sierra. Now, if you told me at the beginning of the season that Kurt Barr was starting on Fridays for Michigan, I would have been saying we're in trouble. However, we're currently sitting in third in the Big Ten standings. Ohio State's sitting in fourth. And Barr's been incredible lately. He's also a sophomore, right-handed pitcher, 4-2 on the year, 3.06 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 22 walks, and 50 innings with a 4.82 Sierra. The Buckeyes, they have a losing record on the road this season, just 7-9, where Michigan is 9-6 at Ray Fisher Stadium this year. Ohio State has a 5.73 weekend bullpen ERA. They're hitting .831 with a team OPS, or they have an .831 team OPS. They're averaging just over 6.5 runs per game with a 103 WRC plus. I think both of these offenses are very, very even. Michigan has an .813 team OPS, 6 runs per game flat, and also 100 WRC plus flat with a 5.91 weekend bullpen ERA. I think Michigan is the more balanced team here, but I think Ohio State's got the more established Friday guy in Bidelskies. At +100, I think the Buckeyes are your move if you're looking to bet this game. I cannot wait because, you know, I'll be there as credentialed media. Should be an absolute blast. Follow me on Twitter at NoahB77_ for some, you know, behind the scenes, other angles. This game, this whole series is on Big Ten Plus. So if you're not subscribed to that, I will post some highlights and other content from the game that you guys would enjoy, in my opinion. We're going to move on to the second game. So first game, I'm picking Ohio State to win that one. You're never going to hear more unbiased baseball talk. I mean, I'm a Michigan fan. However, you know, most of the games that we cover on this show are FCC, ACC, Pac-12. We hit on the big ones in the Big Ten, and this rivalry, there's nothing bigger in sports, in my opinion. It might be baseball. There might not be as many fans in Ray Fisher as in the Dude, but the passion's still there between the two fan bases here. So yes, going with Ohio State in game one. What was I going to say? I forget. Game two, 6 o'clock PM Eastern here, Florida State at Wake Forest, one of the biggest series of the weekend. Oh, that's what I was going to say. The Big Ten has some big series this weekend. Maryland is playing Nebraska, and Iowa is playing Rutgers. Or I might have screwed up who's playing who, but those four teams are in a round robin against each other. And it was very tough leaving those two out, but Ohio State, Michigan had to be covered because I will be there tomorrow. And also, I had a great time at Comerica Park watching Jack Leiter start today. He blew up, but Wyatt Langford hit a RBI double. He scored a couple of runs today. And also, I've been to a Michigan State game earlier this season. They played single A Lansing Lugnuts. That experience was outstanding as well. I can't wait to detail you guys on how the weekend goes in A2 Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 6 o'clock PM Eastern, number 8 in the country, Florida State Seminoles. They're plus 190 at the Demon Deacons, number 12 in the country, minus 250. Wake Forest is 16-6 at the couch this season. Florida State is just 4-4 on the road. They are starting Jamie Arnold. He's a sophomore left-hander, 7-1 on the year with a 132 ERA. He's got 78 punches, 12 walks, and 54.2 innings with just a 175 Sierra. Wake Forest is going to counter with Chase Burns. He's a junior right-hander, 7-1. He's got a 3 ERA himself, 105 strikeouts on the campaign that is still 9 weeks young, 17 walks in 57 innings with a 0.62 Sierra. Both of these arms are legit. Florida State, They have a solid bullpen, and it's been really, really good over the past 3 weeks. Ever since the Clemson weekend where they blew up the first weekend of March Madness, for those that didn't catch any of those games, they blew a couple of large, large leads in the final innings. Like 8th and 9th inning, they were blowing 7, 8, 9 run leads, and they got swept against Clemson. They've got a 4.57 weekend bullpen ERA throughout the year. They've been really good lately. I feel like it's been under 2 runs in a short sample size. As a team, they have a 9.99 team OPS, with averaging just under 9.5 runs per game with a 133 WRC plus. Wake Forest's bullpen is a little bit underwhelming to me this year. They've got a 5.43 weekend ERA. They got Cole Rowland back. To be honest, I have not watched him pitch since he was reported to return. Should be some big time innings for him this weekend if he's 100% here against the Noles. Wake Forest 9.28 team OPS. They're averaging just under 8.5 runs per game with a 119 WRC plus. Look, I think Wake Forest to me at home is going to have a pumped up crowd for a top 10 matchup or a top 10 foe. I have trouble with the plus 190 price tag. I'm going to end up playing the Noles here. Look, I know they're going into what's going to be a great environment, but I can't pass up on Arnold at plus 190. So Florida State is going to be a play for me, and I'm going to check the YouTube chat here. Ryan Hasty saying, shock Noah's on the Buckeyes. Got to put the bankroll first, though. Yeah, I mean, it's not just me. Like, I swear, like, This show, The College Experience, we're very passionate fans of our own programs, and Hasty has been here for the college basketball days as well during the fall and winter. I've had my moments where I've been very homerish. However, I'm just advising the listeners here as one of the bigger college baseball gambling shows out there. Hasty says, I want to bet FSU. Yeah, I'm on FSU here. I mean, I'm fully aware that we're up against it, especially with Chase Burns. But yeah, I don't know how you can pass up that price. Danny Dumbshit, he goes, has Noah broken down any Youngstown State or has he broken down Youngstown State at PFW yet? The Penguins, the flightless birds, as I like to call them, are absolutely terrible this year. And I've watched one too many Youngstown State games because I've got a buddy on the team, which is sad. He's one of the top hitters on the team, or at least he was in the beginning of the season batting in the top three holes. He was batting second or third every single day for the first month and a half. I've not looked into how he is doing, how the team's doing since. Yeah, Ryan Hasty's saying we are the Seminoles of Florida State. I don't have any of the soundboard stuff that Colby does, but man, I wish. Danny Dumbshit says Youngstown State's got 5 wins on the campaign. And Alfred 44, as a Wake fan, the price is insane. Yeah, it is. In my opinion, it is. And in my opinion, my Wi-Fi sucks. I'm literally, it's 2 in the morning at my place. How nobody else is on the Wi-Fi here. It's infuriating. Week after week, I need new Wi-Fi. All right, series number 3 here. Oh, by the way, that Florida State-Wake Forest series was an 11.7 pick'em series. Now, the contest started Thursday night this week with North Carolina and NC State that was included. Your boy was on NC State, and they took down game 1 with a walk-off bomb. Just out of the park, left field. And Mike Monaco had a hell of a call. I retweeted it. It feels really good to have the one game under the belt, especially I love 11.7. Them tweeting out the pick percentages before, you know, the first game goes live is wild. And I'm just able to, so they hadn't done it like within the last 3 weeks. I've actually turned it around. I'm in the top 10. And the last 3 weeks have been great. I think I'm combined 17-1, 15-3, and somewhere in there. Last week I went 6-0. But I mean, they're giving you the pick percentages, and in 50-50 coin flips when 73-75% of the public is on one team, that's an easy take for me, especially if my team is at home. Thomas Grimshaw goes, let's have a weekend, baby. Appreciate all the work you do. I appreciate you for tuning in, Thomas. Honestly, in such a niche sport, it's crazy how much the following of mine and the show has grown in the last 3 years. So let's talk about another 11.7 pick'em contest series here. 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern start. This is in the Sun Belt, a top 20 match in the Fun Belt here. Louisiana Raging Cajuns, they're plus 145 at the 19th ranked Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. CCU, the Shots are 19-4 at Springsbrook Stadium this season. UofL is 9-1 on the road, though. So, like, they've been a very legitimate road team as well. Super battle tested. Honestly, I fucked up not placing this before going live because I knew I couldn't hold it back. Louisiana's 32-1 to make it to the College World Series right now, and it's an absolute ridiculous price. Their RPI is not ideally where you would want it to be if you want them to be a top 16 host, but this truly is a top 25 team, and they've got a really good pitching staff. UofL has a shot to win this series, and if they do, that's really going to help out their RPI, and that 32-1 should not be there much longer. If they win the series, if they lose the series, then they're going to be a 2-3, 2-seed. I don't think they possibly drop to a 3-seed by the end of the year. However, Louisiana is a legit team. They win this series, that price is going to be gone. I think it's a legit look because when we're talking NCAA tournament regionals in the Louisiana area, LSU is down. Ole Miss is not amazing. Mississippi State, I like the squad. I might look for a position on them later on in the year. I've been patient with that team. But I don't think they're amazing and I need to jump on them right away. I'm waiting on Nate Dome if he can come back and be healthy. You have Lamar, who's going to be a legit four seed in that regional. However, I would trust Louisiana to get by Lamar. And Lamar might not even be a four seed. They might be a three seed. Any Big 12 and like any of the Big 12 Texas teams could be sent to the Louisiana regional, but it's a really good look, especially if, I mean, even if they don't get the regional host, they're 9-1 currently on the road right now. They can go, I feel like they could go anywhere in the Big 12. Arkansas would be a death sentence. Texas A&M would be a death sentence. And just anywhere else in the, in that Sunbelt area, like the, I don't know if it's the Bible Belt. I'm not in the South. I'm in Michigan. Anywhere in the Texas range to Georgia range, I think Louisiana is one of the top two teams in that range. Seriously. So if they are able to host a regional or if they get a friendly draw, they've got a shot to get to the super regionals, and then it's coin flip with that pitching staff. Anyways, back to Louisiana at Coastal Carolina. Ragin' Cajuns 32-1 to make it to Omaha. Anyways, U of L is starting Andrew Herman here. He's a junior left-hander. He's 4-1 with a 191 ERA, 48 strikeouts and 15 walks in 47 innings with a 317 Sierra. Coastal Carolina's trotting out Riley Eichhoff. I mean, we've seen this name numerous times. He's not a not amazing, but he's going to go out there, eat 5-6 innings for the shots here, and then hand it over to the bullpen, which has been better this year, but it's not tremendous. Eichhoff is 4-0 with a 5.44 ERA, 31 strikeouts, 9 walks, and 41.1 innings with a 3.96 Sierra. Louisiana's weekend bullpen ERA is 3.95. They have an 8.65 team OPS. They're averaging just under 7 runs per game with a 107 WRC+. That's the scary part, is the offense isn't great. Just think of this as a mid-major Arkansas, okay? Coastal Carolina, 5.21 or 5.29 weekend bullpen ERA, 9.47 team OPS, 9.75 runs per game with a 126 WRC+. Springsbrook Stadium is built for explosive offense. It's just a small shoebox. The Chanticleers have some explosive bats, more explosive, powerful, and they also hit for average. It's just a better up-and-down lineup than Louisiana. I think they're better suited to win 2 of 3. However, I do like Louisiana in game one. I just think they've got the better stud on the mound in Herman. And if he shoves against a solid offense, the Cajuns have a chance to win game one. So at plus 145, it's not a terrible look. However, I'm not looking to fade Coastal Carolina at home. Danny Dumbshit loves the Fun Belt. Ryan Hasty says, I see 101 for Louisiana Lafayette to win the Natty in my Canadian sports book. I'm not crazy on them winning the Natty. However, I think getting to Omaha is an amazing look because their regional is weak, in my opinion. If you get them more to the Atlantic coast, which would be an absolute terrible draw and would make no sense, but would make total sense from the NCAA selection committee. If you put them in the Atlantic coast, they're going to struggle. I think a lot of those Carolina teams can really hit. But I mean, if you keep them in the Texas to Georgia range, I think the only team that they would lose to in the Texas to Georgia range is Texas A&M. Let me hit an ad real quick for Underdog Fantasy because the NBA playoffs are here. Our new sponsor, Underdog Fantasy, wants to make it more interesting for everybody. I mean, they are the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Playing their pick'em game is as simple as selecting higher or lower on player stats like points, rebounds, assists, and so much more. Make entries of all basketball or mix and match across your favorite sports. You can win up to 100 times your money, and it's also a ton of fun. Underdog is available in 30 plus states, including California, Texas, and even Canada. Personally, I have written college basketball Underdog fantasy articles almost nightly from December to February. I was hitting at like 62% for those articles, gave out over 200 picks. It was great. And there are opportunities to make some money in the niche market for sure. The player projections in a niche sport. We've heard rumblings about college baseball soon. Last year they offered it only in Omaha, but we made money. Personally, I can't play Underdog in Michigan. However, those that would have placed the picks would have made money last year in Omaha. Today I was at Comerica Park. I gave out AJ Puck lower than 25.5 fantasy score, Dansby Swanson higher than 1.5 hits, runs, and RBIs. That game was rained out. It is being rescheduled to Friday afternoon. I like the same look again. So they're also implementing a new pick'em special for Friday's play-in games in the NBA on April 19th. This special should go live in the lobby for eligible new customers that sign up by the morning of April 19th. So make sure you sign up with code TCSGPN and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code TCSGPN. All right. We're home free. Picking college baseball games from here on out. Ryan Hasty goes, great call on making Omaha Noah 32-1 is juicy as fuck. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I wish I played it before I said it on air. Now, I'm getting a piece when I get off. Hopefully the price isn't gone. Bet Rivers is the spot too. I don't know why I'm withholding the book. 6 o'clock PM. This is game two of North Carolina at NC State. This is an 11.7 pick'em contest. I have NC State winning the series. And by the way, for the other series, the Louisiana Coastal Carolina series, I had the Chanticleers winning the series there. I think Louisiana's live in game one. They may struggle in game two and game three to keep up with Coastal's offense when they don't have just an ace on the mound, you know. So Doak Field was electric game one Thursday night. They had the LED reds going for the walk-off in the pitch black, just shining the red. Amazing moment there. North Carolina, both teams had 13 hits. It was a very, very back and forth, even game throughout. North Carolina is 6-6 on the road this year. NC State, they're 17-5 at Doak Field. UNC starting Shea Sprague. He's a junior left-hander with a 2-1 record. He's got a 4.06 ERA, 32 strikeouts, 6 walks, and 37.2 innings with a 3.48 Sierra. NC State's trotting out Dom Fritton here. This is interesting move. I don't know what is up with Whitaker, who's their game two starter pretty much the entire season. Dom Fritton, I might have missed it. He might have started game two last week against Clemson. I cannot remember. Dom Fritton, though, sophomore left-hander. He's 2-3 on the year. 7.85 ERA, which is just tricky to understand because he is just a funky lefty, and he can fuck up some good offenses. 43 strikeouts, 25 walks, and 36.2 innings. The Sierra is a little bit better for him. It's sitting at 4.11. Honestly, like, I feel like he's an even better pitcher than that. Better pitcher than what his line portrays. Anyways, North Carolina's weakened bullpen ERA. Their bullpen is deeper than NC State's. NC State really, their pitching kind of falls off on Saturdays and Sundays when they use their top options out of the pen, which they did Thursday. NC State's weekend bullpen ERA is 684 compared to the Tar Heels 468. Wolfpack only hitting 850 as a team OPS this season, averaging just under 7.5 runs per game with a 105 WRC plus. North Carolina 878, 8.78 runs per game, 952 team OPS with a 124 WRC plus. For me here, I just need NC State to squeak out one game in the Friday or Saturday. Like, for the 11.7 graphic, I tweeted out my picks earlier. I took NC State because they had a strong record at home. North Carolina is a little bit weaker away from Beauchemin. And there was like 70% of the people that were on North Carolina, the road team. And the other thing was Fulgur Boaz, their typical Friday starter, was not going in game one. So I was like, NC State has a good shot to win game one. I just got to eke out one of the next two, and I just had a huge leverage play against the field. Personally, I like North Carolina to win this game. Just on paper, the Tar Heels should want to bounce back after being walked off this last night, technically tonight still for me, talking about it having before I've gone to bed. I don't think the plus money's juicy enough on the Wolfpack. I don't think I would be willing to play North Carolina minus 160 against NC State, who, I mean, they won 2 of 3 against Clemson last week, and they just won a firefight against North Carolina. They beat North Carolina at North Carolina's game. North Carolina really just kind of drags you out to the deep water, and they're willing to score some late runs on you against your bullpen, and NC State just did it better. So, for me, I'm staying away from this game personally. But as Ryan Hasty says in the chat, the Pussy Pack has been playing great. Has been playing decent lately. He says, the month of March and somewhat April has been the month for the Pussy Pack, as Colby calls the NC State Wolfpack. We move on to, the thumbnail series of the weekend. Tennessee, the fourth-ranked team in the country, minus 150. They're going to Kentucky Proud Park to play the Wildcats, the number three team in the country, and they're plus 120. Why? I don't quite know. Tennessee, 3-3 on the road. Kentucky, they're 16-2 at home this season. Tennessee's going to go with this strategy they've trotted out the last 2 weeks here. Chris Stamos, he's a grad senior left-hander. He's made 2 starts this season. He's 3-0 in all of his appearances, 3.45 ERA, 15 strikeouts, 9 walks, and 15.2 innings. The sample size isn't large, but A.J. Causey has piggybacked him. So Stamos is going to go one time through the order here, and then Causey comes in, who's a wicked three-quarter sidearm guy for Tennessee. He's a junior right-hander who's 5-2 on the year with a 4.75 ERA, 58 strikeouts, 10 walks in 41.2 innings, and he's got a 2.13 Sierra. It's a nasty 1-2 to begin the series against anybody. Kentucky's offense is underrated for sure. They have an 850 team OPS. They're averaging over 8.5 runs per game with a 122 WRC plus. Tennessee's offense is the best in the SEC, which is the best conference in the country. They have an 1106 team OPS. They're averaging over 10.5 runs per game with a 152 WRC plus. Their weekend bullpen ERA is legit, 437. Kentucky, you could say what you want about the strength of schedule up until this point in the SEC. However, throughout the season, it's a 338 weekend bullpen ERA. They're starting Trey Pooser, who's a grad senior right-hander. He's 3-0 with a 4.11 ERA, 33 strikeouts, 13 walks, 35 innings with a 3.86 Sierra. Here's the thing for me. This was a 11.7 series as well. I picked Kentucky. Here's why. Was this an 11.7 pick'em? I can't remember. I don't know if it was. Here's why I think Kentucky actually wins this series. Let me take you back to 2022, when Tennessee was like the number one college baseball team ever assembled to anybody who had ever followed the sport. Everybody was saying it. up and down the order, they are absolutely legit. Their starting rotation was outstanding. Their bullpen was incredible. They played three low-scoring games against Kentucky. And if I remember correctly, they lost at least two, but they were almost swept. I think they pulled out game three, but it was only like a one-run game. Kentucky's live at Kentucky Proud Park because it is one of the largest parks in the SEC, and the SEC just plays in a bunch of shoeboxes. So a team like Tennessee, who relies on the long ball, isn't as acclimated to play in a big park. Kentucky, I mean, everybody says that they're a small ball team. Nick, Coach Mangione, hates the term small ball. And he just says he uses it when you need to. Well, I mean, when nobody else in the SEC does it, you're going to be established as a small ball team. But this team has over 50 home runs this year. They've got good pop. A couple of guys have 10 plus. A lot of the team is hitting over 300. They take really good at bats. For me, if that Kentucky team, which was not as good as this year's Kentucky team, was able to take 2-3 against Tennessee in their home confines and their friendly confines at Kentucky Proud Park, I think this team can take 2-3 from a Tennessee team that's really good, but nowhere near that 2022 Tennessee team. So I'm at Kentucky in all three games. Hopefully they're catching plus money in all three games. I'm taking Kentucky plus 120 because I think they went 2-3. I'm convinced that I just think this is a bad, not even matchup, just bad environment for the Vols. So we move on to 7 o'clock p.m. Auburn, plus 110 at Mississippi State, minus 140. This is the lock of the day, lock of the weekend, maybe lock of the year. When you're talking about college baseball, it's hard to stamp lock next to something. We do it on the college baseball picks page, the college basketball picks page. We just put lock icons next to the games that we're betting. Lock just means that we have money on it. However, I love this pick. I'm just gonna put it out there. I love this pick. Minus 140. The Bulldogs are 18-4 at home this year. Auburn is just 3-3 on the road. I mean, let's start off here. How in the world have you only played two road series all season long? It's nuts. I can't comprehend that in my mind. But there's a couple of SEC teams. I'm not just picking on Auburn. There's a couple of SEC teams who have not played three road series all season long, and we're entering the 10th weekend of the year. It's crazy. And you don't even have to play a road series. Just hit the road in the midweeks. And they don't. They've got like six road games on the year. It's nuts. Nuts to me. Auburn's starting Dylan Watts, who's a sophomore right-hander. He's 0-0 on the year in 16.2 innings. He's got a 5.94 ERA, 19 strikeouts, two walks. He does, pitch to contact. Mississippi State's going to hit the ball, and it's a small park, and the dude is a small park. I think, personally, if Nate Dome comes back, Mississippi State might have a top four starting pitching trio in the SEC. And I don't say that lightly either. With Nate Dome, Cal Steven, Gerangelo Sanjay, those three, when Dome was healthy, have been solid the entire year. Cal Steven has been getting the nod on game one, Fridays, however, what slang you want to use. And he's been fucking legit. He's got a 284 ERA on the year, 5-2 with 56 strikeouts, 12 walks, and 50.2 innings with a 271 year Sierra. And just the Auburn bullpen has been a train wreck all season long. 662 weekend bullpen ERA. Mississippi State is a 502. And the offenses are pretty similar, averaging around 7.5 runs per game. The Auburn team OPS is a little bit higher than Mississippi State. Also, WRC Plus is about 11 points higher. Mississippi State, with their dog on the mound on a Friday night, this place is going to be nuts. They just lost the weekend series at Ole Miss, their arch rival. Now you're getting the last place team in the SEC coming to your home park. they're going to be rowdy. I have Mississippi State here -140, and I'm going to be putting it in as a parlay piece for the end of show parlay that we'll talk about in 15 minutes or so. Yeah, Ryan Hasty's on the dogs. He says, let's go dogs. Locked it in at -141. UNLV 94 says, are we taking Mississippi State? Hell yes. And Ryan Hasty says, I like the spot off of the weekend loss. We now move to another game two of this weekend, 7 o'clock PM Eastern start. A lot of these great games are early. So like, if you're looking to watch college baseball this weekend, there are not many late games. They're all beginning at 6 or 7 o'clock for Friday, at least. And then they all just get pushed up further and further into the afternoon as we go throughout the weekend. The Gators are +145 in Nashville at the 13th ranked Vanderbilt Commodores, who are -190 at Hawkins Field. Florida's 5-8 on the road. Vanderbilt 21-3 at home. So Pierce Coppola, I believe it's Coppola. He's getting the nod from what I hear. Redshirt sophomore left-hander. He's 0-1 on the year. He's only pitched 1.1 innings. It was not a great start last weekend against South Carolina. He was on a pitch count. He got removed early after 4 earned runs. He had 3 strikeouts, 1 walk. And then they piggybacked the freshman right-hander who was supposed to be a stud, Liam Peterson, who has been anything but this season. He's 1-4 with a 7.80 ERA. 43 strikeouts, 20 walks in 34.2 innings with a 3.62 Sierra. The rain delay helped Florida because they built some offensive momentum after it. But Vanderbilt had that game won. It was like 9-3 as they entered the rain delay. It finished as 10-5. Against the Florida bullpen, you're more likely to score. The pieces on this team are stunningly inconsistent. One day you get a good start and the bullpen's able to piece together and the offense is scoring 4 or 5 runs. And this is all within the last 3 weeks when they've really been struggling. Caglione's been the only consistent part of this team. He's been hitting bombs offensively. Like, he's on like a 9-game home run streak right now. But at some point he's going to go cold and then you've got to create other offense. But anyways, if the offense is hitting, somebody blows up on the mound, and this Florida team is really confusing to understand. Jake McKeever and I talked about it in the early week episode this week, which I hope to have weekly, bi-weekly episodes starting this week, which we already started. But yes, this Florida team is very, very confusing. I think the +145 on them is valid today against Vanderbilt's Carter Holton. He's a junior left-hander. He's 5-1 on the year with a 4.15 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 17 walks in 47.2 innings with a 2.04 Sierra. This is a gut play. And I am a closet Florida fan. I don't think my bias is coming through on this pick. Something doesn't feel amazing with me laying with Vanderbilt. And also, Vanderbilt's my biggest SEC win total position on the year. So that's the other thing, is like, I'm not a huge fan of this Vanderbilt team. I think they lose game two. I really do. And I think that game three with Caglione on the bump is winnable for Florida. And I hope that they're able to turn this thing around, because right now they're missing the NCAA tournament. At the year where the season was to end today, they're not getting in. And this was my preseason favorite to win the national championship. Vanderbilt's weekend bullpen ERA is 5.17, which is actually 3 points less, or 3 points worse than Florida's. Florida's team OPS is 9.52, Vandy 8.50. Vandy averaging under 7.5 runs per game. Florida 8.78 runs per game. 116 WRC plus. Vanderbilt 108. Something is just speaking to me about Florida in this spot. I feel like Sully is going to rip them to shreds, and probably did during the rain delay. And I think that built some momentum watching the end of that game. That's all I'm going to say. I feel like I might be talking crazy talk. However, I'm not willing to lay minus 190 with Vanderbilt. We move on to another 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern game. This is the number 7 team in the country, Duke. They're minus 180 at Virginia Tech, who's plus 140 here. They're the number 23 team in the country, according to D1 Baseball. Duke is 7-4 on the road. Virginia Tech is 15-5 at English Field. Jonathan Santucci, the junior left-hander, is taking the mound here. He's 5-0 with a 286 ERA, 71 strikeouts, 30 walks in 44 innings with a 270 Sierra. Yeah, I'm betting the Blue Devils because Jeremy Neff is getting the start for Virginia Tech. I don't know how long he's going to go. He's only got 13.1 innings under his belt this season. He's given up 11 earned runs in those 13.1 innings with 9 strikeouts and 10 walks. I mean, just flat out, the line's not good. He's a grad right, and he's a grad senior right-handed pitcher. I just think the Duke offense is going to feast. Their bullpen is legit. It's got a 4.64 weekend bullpen ERA this season. They're averaging 8.5 runs per game, 126 WRC plus. Virginia Tech, if you had eyeballs, if you were watching college baseball throughout the beginning of the year, you knew that this team did not schedule tough, and there were the teams that they may have scheduled that they thought were going to be good this year have not been. And then they received a really, really easy draw to begin ACC play. Here's the last three weekends. They go 2-1 against Pitt at home. Honestly, it should have just been a sweep. Then they get swept at home to Wake Forest. Then last weekend, they get shut out in game two against Georgia Tech, who cannot pitch. Like they can't figure it out on the mound, and they lose 17-0, like completely lifeless. Like here's my notebook. I am writing off Virginia Tech. I think they are currently, if the season ended today, Virginia Tech is the most overrated team in the country. I got Duke winning this game minus 180. I'm betting that. We move on to another 7 o'clock PM game. Arkansas, the second-ranked team in the country, minus 200 here at the number 20th-ranked South Carolina Gamecocks, plus 154. Arkansas, they're another one of these teams. They're only 3-3 on the road. Hey, if you hit the road, you lose some baseball games. We found that out last weekend against Alabama. Hey, what a concept. They go 1-2 against the team that's currently 6-9 in the conference. Hit the fucking road. South Carolina's 18-4 at home at Founders Park. But they got Hagan Smith on the mound in game one. We're taking Arkansas. I mean, he's been dominant this year. He's 7-0 with a 153 ERA, 89 strikeouts, 17 walks, and 47 innings with a 0.75 Sierra. I don't know anybody in the country that's going to be able to beat that. Even if Arkansas scores 4 runs, Hagan Smith's going to go out there and pitch 4, or he's going to pitch 8 innings, 9 innings, and he's going to shut down a really good South Carolina offense that I think might be able to win games 2 and game 3 of this series. And why I say that is because they're throwing off here. They're starting Roman Kimball game one here on Friday. He's a sophomore right-hander. Big story as he's social media famous coming off the Tommy John surgery as well. He's 2-1 on the year with a 4.71 ERA, 28 strikeouts, 22 walks, and 21 innings with a 4.49 Sierra. The Arkansas bullpen is legit. They have a 3.26 weekend ERA. They're averaging just under 7 runs a game, but the offensive part of their game is not what they're known for, just a 108 WRC plus. And that's what makes them vulnerable when a dog like Hagan Smith is not pitching on Friday. And they have a really good starting rotation and a really good bullpen. But if you're only scoring 4 or 5 runs a game and you're hitting a road against an elite, elite, elite home team like South Carolina, who's 18-4 again, 18-4 at Founders Park, I think they're vulnerable to lose the series. However, Arkansas is going to be parlay piece of mine at minus 200 here. This is going to shoot up too when people start making parlays with Hagan Smith on the mound Friday morning, Friday afternoon. South Carolina, just for the rest of the weekend, if you're curious, they have a 4.77 weekend bullpen ERA, which is really good in the college baseball landscape. They have an 8.99 team OPS. Again, very solid. They're averaging over 7.5 runs per game, which is a little bit below average in college baseball. When we're talking about like top 25 teams, and a 117 WRC plus, which is better than Arkansas's 108. So that's basically just saying that they're 9% better than the average, 9% better than Arkansas, 17% better than the average offense in college baseball. I think that might be good enough to win a 5-4 ball game. That's just me. Again, you hit the road in college sports, you lose. It's something that Colby always says on the College Baseball Experience, and it's fucking true. Ryan Hasty goes, the Arkansas pitcher sounds like a stud. I mean, Hagen Smith is a fucking stud. Like, if you haven't watched him, I encourage you to. I mean, it's a wicked left-handed arm slot, and he will be drafted probably in the top 12 picks. I'm only saying 12 because sometimes in the MLB draft, it gets weird, and there's some underslot deals, and sometimes the best players aren't picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're not drafting for needs either. They have a bonus pool of money that they spread around through 20 picks. Ryan Hasty says maybe Cal gives him a little bit of pep talk pre-trip for the non-college baseball followers. I mean, if you had to probably have been living under a rock to not know that Coach Calipari is now the head coach at Arkansas. He left Kentucky. That's that reference there. We're going to finish this off with four games that I was hoping would be on this slate that were not. There's 1 month left in the regular season, and this is when my scan of the national landscape prior to the NCAA tournament is at its strongest. I'm looking through every mid-major conference. I want to get, at least if I don't get eyes on it, like this weekend, I'll be in person at baseball games. I'm going to be trying to be in person at baseball games every single weekend from here on out. But I will definitely be score watching like a hawk throughout the weekends here. And I'm not talking like big conferences. I'm talking like the mid-majors, the low majors, the four seeds, who's dangerous, who's not. We're going to the Coastal Athletic Conference. Northeastern was a team that I was really high on in the preseason. I had them in my Omaha 8. They're hosting UNC Wilmington at Friedman Diamond here. UNCW is currently in first place in the CAA with a 10-2 record, 24-13 overall. Northeastern's 27-9 overall, and they're 9-3 in conference, tied for second in the CAA. The Seahawks are 6-6 on the road. Northeastern is 9-1 at home. For me, it's this simple, like coming up from North Carolina into the Northeast and the Brookline, Massachusetts. Give me the home team. Like it's not supposed to be super chilly. It's supposed to be mid 50s. But the wind off the ocean, hopefully, I don't know. It makes logical sense that a team from the South going into the upper Northeast could struggle with the climate. So that's my pick for that series. It was an 11.7 pick 'em. No odds currently on it. I would be willing to lay a little bit on Northeastern. It would have to be in the 10s, 20s, 30 cents. Nothing larger. 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Sorry, that game previously was 2 o'clock Friday in the CAA. Then we go to 6 o'clock p.m. I want you guys to keep an eye on the Georgetown Hoyas, who are 26-10 on the year, 8-1 in the Big East. They're currently in first place in that conference. They're taking on the juggernaut of the last half decade, the last decade in the Big East, UConn. UConn currently has a losing record, but they're tied for second in this conference with a 4-2 conference record, tied with St. John's. UConn just challenged themselves in the non-conference. They took road trips to the South, to the West, and they didn't win many of those games. But I credit them for challenging themselves and gunning for an at-large bid. However, they are playing a team that Georgetown didn't schedule tremendously, but their RPI is really good. There's a couple of those teams in the Big East this year. Big East might be a multi-bid league. Who knew? Capital One Park here is hosting the game. It's a minor league stadium. Georgetown's 14-2 in it this year. UConn is 7-13 on the road. Oh boy. This should be a hell of a series. And there's no betting odds on it. Come on, guys. Georgetown. I think UConn wins the series. Only because it's a program that has been established. Georgetown, I can't remember the last time Georgetown has started off this good. but the conference slate has been weak to start. The last four weekends in the Big East for them are all against legit foes. So we'll see from here on out how good this Hoyas team is. So I'm taking UConn here to win the series. Again, no betting odds. That was just, I was talking about the game for fun. 7 o'clock PM Eastern. This is a lie. It's actually 11 AM Eastern. Texas A&M, the number one team in the country at Alabama, who's also ranked. So there are no odds out for this first game, and they're not going to put out odds for the second game of the doubleheader, which is going to suck. It's just the way it goes. It's stupid. Game one. So I personally haven't done a good enough job tracking this. Like if this happens, if this gamesmanship happens, they and the SEC and most, hopefully most programs in the country announce probable pitchers for not just the first game of the weekend, but the entire weekend before the first game of the series, which that happened for Texas A&M Alabama. However, I'm looking at my cheat sheet schedule over here. Alabama, they played Arkansas last week, and I can't remember if that was a Thursday. That was a series that started on Thursday or Friday. I think it started on Friday. Their number one, who hasn't pitched like a number one, Ben Hess, was slated to start Friday's game, which would have been game two. However, game one has now been moved to Friday, and now it's going to be a doubleheader starting at 11 a.m. I don't know if there's going to be any gamesmanship between the two managers here. If Alabama keeps Greg Ferrone as their probable starter, who will then throw in game one, they could do that, or they could make the switch for Ben Hess and say that we wanted to keep Ben Hess on his normal week routine. Or they could keep Ferrone and keep Ben Hess in their positions, or Schloss, the head coach of Texas A&M, could throw Ryan Prager against Ben Hess, who is Alabama's best pitcher and has been the last couple of years. He could flip Tanner Jones, his number two, to game one and face Alabama's game one, or number two, and Greg Ferrone in game one. Wow, I'm really tripping myself up here, but I hope those that are listening understand. Texas A&M, they're 5-3 on the road. They're my number one team currently as we speak today. They're the team that I think is most dangerous to win a national title if the season ended today and the NCAA tournament began. But Alabama's dangerous at home. They're 18-5, and I was hearing on the 11.7 podcast today. Shout out to any of them if they're listening to this show, because they were talking about this Alabama team. And I find it really interesting that they were making solid points about a team that I faded in the preseason. I currently have the Alabama team total under 14.5 wins. They're currently 6-9 in conference play. They have took 2 of 3 at home against Tennessee. Then they went on the road and they got swept by Georgia. Then they took, I think they swept Alabama. Then Alabama got swept by Kentucky. Then they took 2 of 3 against Arkansas. My math doesn't add up, does it? I think they took 2 of 3 at home against South Carolina. Now we're to 6-9. All right. So they've played South Carolina, Georgia, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Arkansas up until this point. Arkansas is currently the second ranked team. Kentucky is currently the third ranked team. Tennessee is currently the fourth ranked team. South Carolina is ranked in the top 25. And Georgia's pretty damn good. Alabama's 6-9. This is how the schedule finishes. Alabama goes to Ole Miss. Alabama goes to Mississippi State. In the preseason, I had them losing 2 of 3 at Ole Miss. I would probably switch that. I think they win 2 of 3 at Ole Miss. I think they win that series. I think they lose the series at Mississippi State 2-1. So that's 3-3. That would be 9-12. Then Alabama hosts LSU. In the preseason, I had LSU winning that series 2-1. Currently, I think they got a shot to win the two games with the Holman and jump starts. However, that jump start is a 50-50 against either Greg Ferone or Ben Hess. So that could be a 2-1 series victory for Alabama. And then it goes to, then they are 11-13. Then they finish off the year. God damn it, I'm terrible at math. Whatever. I think they've got 11 wins that I've given. Oh yeah, I didn't pick this series yet. For what it's worth, I think Texas A&M beats them. I think A&M wins 2 of 3 at Bama. But Bama, I had in the preseason winning 2 of 3 at home against A&M. So that's something that I had accounted for. Then the final series of the year, Alabama's at Auburn. It's a rivalry. Anything can happen. We saw that with Mississippi State, Ole Miss. I think the better team lost 2 of 3 on the road. That could happen at Auburn. But what I'm meaning to say, and what they said on the 11.7 podcast, shout out to Ben, Dimitri, and Jack. They have Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, and Auburn the last 4 weeks after Texas A&M. That's three of the worst teams. Ole Miss, LSU, Auburn. Three of the worst teams in the SEC currently. Three of the bottom four. Not counting Missouri. And Mississippi State's in the middle of the pack. It's not a bad look for future. Shout out to those 11.7 guys. I might have to hedge with an Alabama College World Series future. Just to get there. Not to win it all. Because this team's very solid at home. Like I said, their record at home is 18-5. If they host a regional, they could win the regional. Again, all those games would be played at home. And they got a gut shot at hosting a super regional. Last year didn't happen. They went to Wake Forest and they got their ass kicked. I'm not super high on Alabama. It's a team that I've had a hard time understanding. They've had a couple of pitching injuries. They've had a couple of pitchers not live up to expectations, but the offense has really overperformed, or they're just really good and better than I expected. Alabama is also a team that I have on the Omaha radar, thanks to the 11.7 guys. So yes, I have Texas A&M winning this series 2-1. I have, for that first game, I need to know what happens with the pitching scenario. So as of right now, if Prager starts game one, I'm on the Aggies. That's how I'm going to label it for the show. We finish off this edition of the College Baseball Experience, April 19th picks, with a fire game in the West Coast Conference. Gonzaga, the stalwarts in the WCC, they're hosting Portland at the Patterson Baseball Complex. Portland's currently in second place in the conference. They're 8-1. Gonzaga's a half game above them because they're 10-2 in conference. However, Gonzaga is 14-19 overall, and Portland's 22-12. And they're the Pilots are 8-1. Or sorry, the Pilots are 12-7 on the road this season. Gonzaga's 9-1 at home. This is a really, really fun series. Give me the road team. I like Portland. They've knocked off some really good teams this year. Gonzaga, I don't know what to make of the Zags. So I'm on the Pilots. Like I said, they've played pretty good in the non-conference. We'll hit some YouTube comments here and then we'll jump off. Ryan Hasty goes, no odds for the number one team in the country is outrageous. It's because of the everything that I was saying about the gamesmanship thing. Who knows who's going to pitch? Charles Walker. He goes, Noah, how the hell are you? How the hell are you, Charles Walker? We're going to finish off the show with the locks, the dog, and a podcast parlay. The locks that I have, Mississippi State minus 140. It might be my favorite pick of the season that I've given out so far on the show. Cal Steven against a guy who's got 15 innings on the year, who's not been great for Auburn, and Auburn's got a terrible pen. This is at the dude, off a series loss to their rival Ole Miss. Lock it up. Friday game one. The second lock for me is Duke, minus 180. They are Duke is at Virginia Tech. I said it earlier in the show. I think Virginia Tech is the most phony ranked team currently. Yeah, they've lost a game to Pitt at home. They got shut out the Georgia Tech last weekend, who can't pitch, and they were swept by Wake Forest at home. If there was a team that was very, very similar to Wake Forest in the ACC, it's Duke. I think they win game one with their horse on the mound, Jonathan Santucci. The dog is Florida State. I was just talking about that Wake Forest team. This is a disrespectful number on one of the best aces in the country in Jamie Arnold. Jamie Arnold plus 190. A Florida State pen that has been really good since their blowups against Clemson. It just confuses me that it's opened up this high. Plus 190 is actionable for sure. Very like I said earlier in the show, very aware that we're probably walking into a hornet's nest, but the value is there. The parlay is with the best pitcher in the SEC, Hagen Smith in Arkansas. They're minus 200, and I'm throwing in Mississippi State minus 140. Like, honestly, I'm really confident in this pick that they win. You know, things could happen. It's baseball. However, yeah, it might be one of my favorite picks of the season. That's a plus 157 podcast parlay for you. Again, drop a, you know, if Mississippi State wins, if they live up to the hype that I've, you know, hyped them up with on this show, drop a review. I have a box. I have two boxes, sorry, full of seeds. Like, legitimately, I have 15 bags of seeds that I'm willing to give out to 15 people that leave reviews. Hit me up on Twitter. Hit up the show on Twitter. Hit up the show on Instagram. The show's tag is TCE on SGPN, on Instagram, on Twitter, on TikTok. Hit me up on TikTok if you want the seeds, if you don't have Twitter or Instagram. But yeah, just leave a review, screenshot the review, send it to me, and I'll send out some seeds for you. And I'll ask you what flavor you want. So yeah, Simon goes, good show, Noah. Thank you very much, Simon. This is a really, really, really fun time of the season that we're entering. Ryan Hasty says, what if we throw in East Carolina? It would come out to plus 236. I will say Wichita State's Friday night guy, Caden Favors, has been slumping lately. But at the beginning of the season, he was one of the most automatic things in college baseball. Swear to God, I made a good chunk of change on him throughout the first 4 weeks of the season. Caden Favors is legit. He's not pitched as great. He's going up against East Carolina's offense, which is really good. Yeah, I mean, it's East Carolina. They're at home. That should win. I don't know if I'm there. If I don't know if the juice is worth the squeeze going up against another valid ace, but I think it should win. But yeah, like I said, leave a review for a bag of seeds. What was I? Oh, we're probably going to do at least one more show this weekend, previewing Saturday, giving out some picks, or previewing Sunday, giving out some picks, or both days. I don't quite know yet. It depends on when I get back from Ann Arbor Friday night. That's the only thing. Whether I have enough time to handicap some games and get a show out and also be able to get back up in the morning and head out to Ann Arbor again for a 1 o'clock game. So, yeah, I'll be at the Michigan-Ohio State baseball series this weekend. Follow me on Noah B77 underscore all social media. I'll have some videos out for the people, giving out some picks, showing some behind the scenes stuff, maybe get an interview or a couple of players. I'll be in the press conference with the coaches. Should be fun. It's a great series. Third and fourth place teams in the Big Ten. Anything else? I think that's it. Shout out to everybody that's listening. Got hour 10 in. You've been listening to College Baseball Experience. You better start thinking about yours. Adios, amigos.